right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Susnow.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Susnow. You're tuning in to the Inspire Possibility Show, and every week I like to have a conversation with somebody who inspires me, somebody who I hope will inspire you, somebody that we'll learn from, somebody who we're glad we made the investment and taken the time to listen. The person today is Marcy Shymoff, is someone who I've known for many years. She's a well-known author, number one New York Times best-selling author. She wrote a book called Happy for No Reason, a number one bestseller. She wrote Love for No Reason. She also is a co-author with Chicken Soup for the Soul for Women. And she's a seminar leader, program developer, somebody who I think you're going to be glad you've taken the time to tune into. So thanks for being here. And Marcy, welcome to the Inspire Possibility Show.
Thank you, Mark. I love the concept of the show to inspire possibilities, and I'm delighted to be here with you. I have a little bit of a cold, so hopefully you'll be able to understand me, even though I'm a little more nasal than usual.
Well, I hear you fine, and I'm
okay,
sure that
great.
There's no problem there. So we were talking a little bit off air about some of your work, and I know that I like the concept of happy for no reason. I mean, it's easy to be happy if a lot of things are going great in your life, right? You're, you know, in love, your business is flourishing. But as we all know, we do have those moments, but life's kind of like a marathon, and we have these ups and downs. And sometimes, you know, our circumstances aren't too good. And so that's why that concept of just waking up and being happy for no reason. So what got you to write this book? How did that happen? What was going on in your life when you? Because a lot of times, I think we all that are teachers, we kind of teach what we want to learn. So was there a feeling this in your life? Hey, I want to learn how to be happy for no reason.
Absolutely, you couldn't have said it better. That we teach what we most want to learn. I was born depressed. You know, I came out of the womb with existential angst, and I grew up an unhappy kid. Now, I had actually a great family, great life circumstances, but I just had a dark cloud around me. And so when I was in my early 20s, I decided that I would set 5 goals for myself, and that once I got those 5 goals, I figured then I'd be happy. You know, this is what we're all taught. It's called the I'll be happy when syndrome. And I'll just share with you what my 5 goals were so that, you know, I think a lot of people might be able to relate to this.
Perfect.
I wanted to have a successful career helping people. I wanted to have a great husband or life partner, wonderful friends, a comfortable home, and the equivalent of Halle Berry's body. Now, I got 4 out of the 5. I don't have Halle Berry's body. But I do have a healthy body, for which I'm grateful. And I really, Mark, I worked my butt off to get those things, to get all my ducks in a row so that I would be happy. And I had a real wake-up moment. It was in June of 1998. And at the time, I had 3 books at the same time in the top 5 on the New York Times bestseller list.
Wow.
And I had all those other things working for me that I wanted, and I had just finished giving a speech to 8,000 people. It was a room of 8,000 women, and I had autographed 5,000 432 books. I felt like an author rock star. They had to have a massage therapist there to massage my hand so that I didn't get a carpal tunnel. And I remember going up to my hotel room, which was the penthouse suite that my client had gotten for me, and walking over to the beautiful panoramic windows. It was in Chicago, so these big windows of Lake Michigan. And I turned around, and I fell onto the bed, and I burst into tears. And I burst into tears because I realized that I had everything that I thought that I needed to be happy, and I still wasn't. I still felt this emptiness inside, almost like a low-grade depression. And I realized that I couldn't fool myself anymore into thinking that just the next thing was going to do it for me. It's kind of the end of the line for me. And that's when I decided I am going to study everything I can about happiness. And I am making it my job to find out how to become deeply, truly happy. Not just happy because, you know, happy because this is good or that's good, but happy for no reason, which I define happy for no reason as an inner state of peace and well-being that you take with you wherever you go, no matter what. And the news is good. I did a lot of research, and I interviewed hundreds of happy, unconditionally happy people, and I started practicing what they were doing. And I would say I went from a D-plus in happiness to an A. And I'm still always working on it. I'm a work in progress, but it works. And now I share it with other people, and it works. So that's the good news.
Wow. So I'd like you to share some of these ideas, and I know also I want to talk about love for no reason also. But let's go ahead, and I have a sense that there's an overlap here. But let's go ahead and talk about some of these insights. Would you say there are two or three insights, or how many insights would you say they are? What were some of the insights you came up with?
Yeah. So first of all, the thing that I found most inspiring is that science has actually cracked the happiness code. Science knows what it takes for us to be happier. You know, to me, this should be headline news. This should be what's taught in the schools. I mean, happiness is what people have wanted from time immemorial, and we actually know how to do it. So here's one thing that I think is critical for everybody to understand about happiness, because it explains a lot. And that is that we all have a happiness set point. It's like a thermostat setting. And what it means is that no matter what happens to us, whether it's good or bad, we will tend to hover around our happiness set point, our thermostat setting, unless we do something consciously to change it. So the happiness set point is really the key to our happiness, and here's how it's determined. Your happiness set point is 50% genetic. You're born with it. I was not born with the happy genetics. It's 10% your circumstances. Now, that is a very tiny piece of the pie. Yet, it's what everybody is so busy trying to control and manipulate in our lives in order to be happy, that 10%. The other 40% is your habits of thoughts and behavior. And I'm going to take this a step further, and that is that progressive scientists in the field of epigenetics have found that even that 50% that's our genes, even that can be influenced by our habits of thoughts and behavior, which says that up to 90% of your happiness set point can be changed. Like, that to me is freedom. So no matter where you are on the happiness continuum, whether you're already really happy or whether you're not very happy, you can do specific practices to raise your happiness set point. Now, you asked me, you know, are there a lot of them? Well, I found that there are 21.
Let me just interject here. Is that you were saying that 50% is genetics, 40% is habits and conditioning. And you're saying that 40% can actually influence the genetic portion, the other 50%. Did I hear
exactly.
that right?
Exactly. Totally. So in other words, you know, this field of epigenetics is what we do, our behaviors, our habits of thoughts and behaviors influence the expression of our genes. So there are certain things you can do to make your happy genes come out more, or other things that we do that make your unhappy genes express more. So really, we've got 90% of our happiness set point is something that we can really deeply influence. So it you know, even and I as I said, I had low grade depression my whole life, and I had a great life, but I just had that feeling of just not so happy, and it I never really thought that I would be able to be as happy as I am. And now that doesn't mean, I want to clarify something. People think, oh, does that mean you walk around 24/7 with a silly little grin on your face? You're in some Pollyanna state of denial. No. You still have emotions. You still have anger. You still have sadness. You still have grief, upset. But you have this inner state of peace and well-being that is your backdrop, that you're able to bring to whatever life serves you. So you're much more resilient. You know, you bounce back more quickly. And that doesn't mean that you're still not, as I say, influenced by world events or, you know, things not going the way that you wanted them to go in a particular election. So, you still can feel upset about various things, but you bring your resilience, you bring your own inner peace and well-being to it, and that allows you to be also more creative in the way that you handle situations that come your way.
It allows you to kind of not get stuck on these upsets. So when you get upset, maybe you grieve, but you come back to that inner state quicker. Is that kind of what you're saying,
too? Yeah, and with greater access to being able to be more productive in how you come back. I mean, happier people, it's been shown on average, live 9 years longer. They are one-third less likely to get sick. I do have a cold right now. They're more successful. On average, they make over $1 million more over the course of their lifetime. Their relationships are happier. So it's a big, you know, this is a big deal, this whole happiness set point. And we influence the people around us by our own happiness set point. It's been shown that we can influence people, five people away from us. So in other words, your happiness is affecting your brother's, neighbor's, cousin's, boss. Because we really live...
And how does that work? How does that explain a little bit more about that?
So I am not a scientist, and I can't explain the exact details of that, but of course everything in the universe is energy. And we are influencing people energetically all the time. You know, one simple way to understand it is that if I'm happier, the people around me immediately are happier because I'm impacting them energetically. They're impacting their neighbor, let's say. Their neighbor is impacting, their boss or whatever. So we have far-reaching effects more than we know. And I think it's one of the greatest things we can do for our society is to become happier ourselves.
Right, which is a great concept, because sometimes people think that when a lot of people we know are focusing on being more happy, and people say, well, you're kind of copping out, you don't really care about people, you're narcissistic and self-centered.
Right.
I've been accused of that. And I just like what you said. That's how I feel, is that we have more when we love ourselves and we're happy. And I think they're really the same. Being happy is really loving yourself. We have more to give to others.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not frivolous. That's the other thing. I think people think it's frivolous. It's really not. I mean, your happiness affects your brain activity. It affects your heart rhythm. It affects your biochemistry. The Institute of Heart Math, who is one of the world's leading researchers in the area of the heart and our emotions and happiness, how these all interact, they found that when you're angry for just 5 minutes, it can suppress your immune system for up to 6 hours.
Whoa.
But when you're feeling gratitude or love for just 5 minutes, it can strengthen your immune system for up to 6 hours. So these, again, this isn't something frivolous. In fact, I like to make this really practical. Can I give you a little practice that we can all do from the Institute of
Absolutely.
Heart Math to move into what? Yeah?
Go ahead.
Okay, good.
I'm ready.
So,
I'm ready.
All right. So I'm going to ask everybody to do this with us. And what it is called, it's from the Institute of Heart Math. It's called the Inner Ease Technique. And it moves you very quickly from what science calls the stress response, and we all know what that feels like, to be stressed out, to what science calls the love response. The love response has its own unique signature. It's got its own unique brain patterns, heart rhythms, and biochemistry. So this little practice can move us. It's going to be 2 minutes. It has three steps to it. I invite you to do this with us because it's boring to just listen to us doing it. And, Mark, I'm going to ask you to be my guinea pig, which means at the end of the 2 minutes, I want you to tell me if you feel any different. Okay?
Okay. So I better sit down.
Yeah. You want to sit down for this. Now, if you're driving, you don't want to close your eyes. You can do the rest of it, but don't close your eyes. But if you are in a place where you're able to close your eyes, then I invite you to do that. And the first step is to simply place the palm of your hand over your heart. Now, this simple act of putting your hand over your heart starts the flow of a chemical called oxytocin. And oxytocin is dubbed the love hormone because it's what we have when we feel bonded and connected with each other. So mothers who are breastfeeding have lots of oxytocin, or when we make love, we have lots of oxytocin. But just putting your hand on your heart right now is stimulating the flow of oxytocin in your body. Now, the second step is to imagine that you're breathing in and out through the center of your heart. So imagine that you're inhaling into your heart and you're exhaling out of your heart. At your own rhythm, every inhale, just inhale into your heart, exhale out of your heart. And some people do well visualizing that. Some people do well just feeling that. Doesn't matter which works better for you. And you may already start to feel a shift happening for you. Now, the third and final step is that on each inhale, imagine that you're breathing in love, ease, and compassion. The exhale is just from your heart, just letting go. But inhaling every time into your heart, love, ease, and compassion. And exhaling out of your heart. And you can remember a time when you felt any of those, love, ease, or compassion, or you can just silently be saying those words to yourself, and it'll still have a very powerful effect. Breathing in on the inhale, love, ease, and compassion. And exhaling out of your heart, one last breath into your heart, taking in love, ease, and compassion. And on the next exhale, you can slowly move your hand away from your heart. And if your eyes were closed, you can slowly open your eyes. Now, that was under 2 minutes. But I want you all to notice, how do you feel different? Do you feel different in your body? Do you feel any different emotionally? And, Mark, you agreed to be our guinea pig. So tell me, how do you feel any different now than you did a few minutes ago?
Yeah, I feel great. I feel happy. I'm smiling.
Yeah.
I am. I mean, I'm like, you know, I'm sitting down, first of all. And,
yeah.
And I just, it's interesting when I put, as soon as I put my hands on my heart, and I've put my hand on my heart before, but I've never really kept it there this long, and both hands just to do this. And I, as soon as I did that, I felt a warmth inside my body.
Yes. Now, a lot of people have different experiences. So some people may feel a warmth. Some people even feel a tingling in their hands and feet or head. Some people feel just centered and balanced and grounded or more peaceful or happy, as you said. All of these are signs of moving into the love response. Now, here's the deal. Doing it once is just a nice experience. It's not going to really change your happiness set point. But what can change your happiness set point is if you do this, 2 or 3 times a day, every day for the next few weeks, you start to habituate it. You start to make it a habit. And your body starts to more naturally go into this state. Now, I have done this thousands of times. All I have to do now is put my hand up to my heart, and immediately my body goes into the love response. So you know, and what I love about this is it's so easy to do. I do it when I'm standing in line at the grocery store. You know, I do it when I'm sitting on the phone with somebody. You don't have to, you know, and it takes 2 minutes. Everybody's got 2 minutes.
I like it. I'm going to do it definitely for the next 2 weeks. I mean, I can do it.
Yay. Yeah, and especially,
not a high bar.
I mean, no, we're in stressful times. I mean, first of all, the holiday season is a stressful time. You know, clearly we're in stressful times in our world. And we need to have tools that we can use to bring us back to our own state of peace and well-being. And, you know, Mark, I know we don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to quickly, if I can, you tell me if this is something you'd like me to do. I'd like to go through, I told you that there were 21 happiness habits, and of course I don't have time to go through all 21 of those, but I do have time to tell you that they fall into seven main areas. And I can give you
these
seven areas.
You know, the other thing, Marcy, is what I want to do is let me just interject here. And, you know, so let's tell the listeners before we do that how they can get a hold of you and how they can get your books and all that kind of stuff, because I know that, and I know you're giving a new program in January.
Yes, yes.
You
can go to happyforno reason.com. That's happyfornoreason.com. And on there, I have a list. I have a workbook that has all 21 of these happiness habits and specific practices that you can do for each one, and that is my free gift to you. So you can get that at happyfornoreason.com. It's a 28-page guidebook to all of these happiness habits that have been shown to raise your happiness set point and the specific practices. So that practice I just gave you is part of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how they get a hold of you. And then
that is one way to get a hold of me. I also
lead a
year-long fabulous program, my favorite thing I've ever done with the most amazing results, called Your Year of Miracles. And it's about helping people live their lives in what I call the miracle zone, where miracles become more and more the order of the day. And we actually have over 1,500 people in the program this year from 42 countries, and 94%, they set three miracle intentions at the beginning of the year, and 94% of those have happened. So we're having amazing success. So if you're interested in that, that's it. Miracles in 2017.com. Miracles in 2017.com.
Is that an online course?
That is online. Yep.
Uh huh. And then,
it's live online. So really amazing. It's an amazing experience for people.
And so,
we're just. Yeah.
So the people, was it once a week or how does that work? Or
it's twice a month. And then you also have a miracles a group, like a support group that you meet with at your own convenience. And then every Monday morning you also get a miracle message in your email box from us. But otherwise it's twice a month, really amazing kinds of healers that we have on as well. So we cover all kinds of all the themes of life, how to create a miraculous life in your health, in your family, in your relationships, in your work, in your abundance, you know, in every area. So, I mean, here's the deal, Mark. I absolutely believe that we are here to live miraculous lives. That we, you know, it's not an accident that we're on the planet, and we're not here to just get by. We're not here to just survive. We are here to thrive. And I am the last person in the world that I ever thought would say, oh, my gosh, my life is miraculous. But I tell you, I wake up every morning, and I feel like life is miraculous. And so if that can happen for me, I know that can happen for anyone.
Wow, that's very inspiring. So I'm sure that a lot of us, I know I feel definitely uplifted and encouraged, and because it's pretty much what I feel. And it's great to hear someone else kind of have the same message.
Especially now
to be, you know, in the times to be optimistic. You know, sometimes you're optimistic, you feel like a lone ranger sometimes, you know.
Right.
How can you be optimistic? There's so much suffering in the world and all this kind
of
stuff.
And certainly we don't want to ignore the suffering, but we can do a whole lot more more effectively when we are coming from a place of our own inner peace and well-being. You know, you have so much more power to be able to affect change from that state than from any other state. So, gosh, Mark, do I have time to just very quickly run through these seven areas?
You do. You do.
Okay.
And I just, that's why, but I wanted to get that other out there because I know you wanted to let people know about your program.
Great.
And
Thank you.
And your other books and the thing about love for no reason. I mean, that's a whole nother show.
That is a whole nother show.
We can talk about another time because I think that's a great topic too. But let's talk about these other ideas about these five or six other things you can do to
There are seven main areas of happiness. And if you've got a pen and paper, I want you to write these down because I want you to take a look in your life and see which are the areas that you're weak in and strong in. And so I know that people have a hard time remembering seven of anything, so I created an analogy. I call it building your inner home for happiness. Now, a home has seven key components to it. It's got a foundation, four corner pillars that the walls rest on, a roof, and a garden. So here's how these relate to your happiness, the main areas of happiness. The foundation is taking responsibility for your life and your happiness. Knowing that you can do something about it and not showing up as a victim in life. So if you show up a lot blaming others or complaining or feeling shame, any of those are signs that you are a victim or coming forward as a victim. And you want to shift to being a creator in your life. So the first step and foundation is taking full responsibility for your happiness. The four corner pillars are the pillar of the mind, the body, the heart, and the soul. The mind is your thoughts. Do your thoughts support your happiness? The heart is, do you live with love and gratitude and forgiveness? The body, do you have the biochemistry of happiness? And that was when I was weak in, and I had to shift that. And then the soul, are you plugged into spirit in some way, no matter what you call that? Then there's the roof of your home for happiness, which is your purpose or passion in life. Are you living an inspired life? And then finally, there's the garden. And the garden is who you surround yourself with. Do you have a bunch of weeds around you, lots of toxic people, or do you have roses and gardenias, people who are supporting you and your happiness? So I ask you to take a look at those seven areas and see where is your Achilles heel. And the reason I suggest that is that's where you want to begin on your happiness journey because that's where you'll get the biggest shifts coming for you. And we each have different strengths and weaknesses. So you'll probably find two of those areas you're strong in, two of them you're weak in, and the others you're kind of in the middle. So start where you're the weakest. And again, in that workbook that I have for you, it has a questionnaire in there where you can determine all of this, and then it can guide you to which habit to start with.
So, Marcy, thanks for being the guest on the Inspire Possibility Show. And what I like to ask my guests is near the end of the show is a couple of questions. One is, what gives you hope right now?
Mm-hmm. What gives me hope is knowing that deeply, in essence, human beings are good. And that we all want the same things. We all want love. We all want to be happy. And that we actually, while there's a lot of darkness, there's a lot more light coming on the planet right now, too. And so I think it's a beautiful time to be alive, even in the midst of these challenges, because we are the light. You know, Mark, I know you probably have one more question, but may I end on a quote that really is why I'm here, why I'm so inspired?
Yes, that's the other question.
There we go. So earlier we talked about how we impact the people around us, and I believe that ultimately it's not selfish to want to be happy, that it's the least selfish thing that you can do, because when you're happy, you affect the people around you. So I end with a Chinese proverb that sums up why I am so passionate about this, and it goes like this. It says, when there is light in the soul, there will be beauty in the person. When there is beauty in the person, there will be harmony in the house. When there is harmony in the house, there will be order in the nation. And when there is order in the nation, there will be peace in this world. And so my prayer and my wish for every single one of us is that we know that light in our own hearts and souls, that we live that happiness ourselves. And through that, we help create more peace on this planet of ours.
Beautiful. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Marcy, for having this conversation. I found it very inspiring, and I've known you for a while, so it was kind of fun to hear you firsthand, one-on-one like
this. Thank
you, Mark. Well, yeah. And, you know, I was thinking the Love for No Reason, I think it would be a great show for February.
Perfect.
To kind of have you back and schedule that. And I want to, again, thank you for this time together and remind our listeners that every week we have inspiring guests, and next week you're going to hear somebody else. And in the meantime, journey on.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.